These days, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe, like vintage-style tees, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, and so much more, right here in the USA. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs in towns and cities across the country, and jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the latest episode of Five on the Floor on the Five Reasons Sports Network. Thanks for joining us on your favorite podcast app on Apple Podcasts. On Android, recommend Spotify or the Five Reasons YouTube channel. Check out our Discord server. It's off the floor, $2.99 per month. Link right here in the description. Communicate with us and other Heat fans all day long. Also, you can suggest topics for episodes that we do here on Five on the Floor. Again, find it in the description. $2.99 per month. Once you're there, you won't leave. Now check out one of the great sponsors of the Five Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Valvoline. This episode is sponsored by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. With oil changes complete in about 15 minutes, maintaining your vehicle is just a quick stop on the way to your summer destinations. Click the link in our bio to receive a coupon that saves $8 off Valvoline full service conventional oil change or $10 off full service, full synthetic or diesel oil change. So check it out. Right here in the description, that's where you can find everything. You'll get the link and you can get your discounts on Valvoline Instant Oil Changes just in time for the rest of the summer. And now, today's episode.
Down to Biscayne. Yikes. Five on the floor, ride for my dogs. Where here's the thing, you can check the score. Hustle hard, couple scars, wearing bubble frogs. Just like Buckley said, you in trouble, y'all. Kept the role playing, got an all band. Y'all seen the block, stop with one hand. And Pat, we trust, it's power, have the guts. We here to bring the heat, y'all can hang it up.
Welcome to Five on the Floor, a daily insider show on the Miami Heat and the NBA, featuring Ethan Skolnick, Greg Sylvander, and Alex Toledo, plus others from the Five Reasons Sports Network.
All right, welcome back to Five on the Floor. Here's today's floor plan. I'm Ethan Skolnick. You can follow me at Ethan J. Skolnick and the Five Reasons Sports. I got Greg Sylvander. You can follow me at Greg Sylvander. Alex Toledo, you can follow him at Tropical Blanket. The Miami Heat are in the finals again. This time it's the Summer League Finals. We told you before this started this was one of the great Summer League teams of Miami Heat history. You guys all gave up hope after they lost to Golden State in the opener in Sacramento, got blown out. Jaime Jaquez came to the rescue for a couple of games at the start in Vegas. He's not there anymore. Neither is Keshawn Johnson, who we've had on the podcast, who has been one of the real promising players to come out of this, and yet the Heat win anyway. They come back against a team of 60-year-olds. The Warriors had a bunch of guys like Kevin Knox, been playing in the NBA forever. There should be an age limit. But the Heat prevail, and they did it with a little bit from their steady guys and then a little bit from kind of their up-and-down guys, and we're going to talk about that as we go forward. But we, first thing, appreciate the content. Thank you very much. It's been nice to have these extra games to talk about. Also, I think that this is validation, again, that the Heat scouting staff is probably operating at the highest level they ever have. They are just constantly finding guys, it looks again like we'll talk about Ware more specifically, but Ware, Larson in the draft. But we've talked about Johnson, but Stevens we're going to get into. Josh Christopher, everybody's had a look at Josh Christopher, but some of what we've seen from Alondis Williams and Caleb Daniels, who's somebody we have not talked about very much, although our friends on the Force podcast, which you can get here on the Five Reasons YouTube channel, Matt and Major have actually interviewed Caleb and done chalk talks with Caleb. So they're familiar with him. And we'll talk about that too as we go forward. But there's a couple things going on here. First, this has been very successful, the Heat Summer League, not just that they're winning, but that they're getting a chance to sort of see these guys in these different high pressure, high leverage situations. But additionally, they have more tough decisions than I think they've ever had coming out of one of these. And we'll go to that first, because we have talked about that on a couple of different podcasts, but I'll just start here. Isaiah Stevens has earned a two-way. Like, I don't think there's any question at this point. He played nearly the whole game today. It tells you that he's ahead of Zion Pullen. I don't think there's any question about that. And Drew Smith or no Drew Smith, like, there is a two-way available right now. Just give it to Stevens. I think they will. Like, I'm not arguing with the organization about this. I don't see how they couldn't, Greg. Like, yeah, he's been the floor general leading them to this point, and he reminds me of somebody, which I'll talk about in a second.
He's been one of the more steady players. Like, he doesn't necessarily lead the team in scoring every game or something like that, so he doesn't make all the highlight plays, but boy, has he been the quarterback of this team that's now in the Summer League Championship against the Grizzlies summer team tomorrow night. So it's been fun, and this is a thing for Miami because they need a player like him on the regular roster. So I think that there is legs to him contributing in a bigger way. I think that because they have him on the Exhibit 10, where he's basically committed to coming to training camp, they're not rushing to make any decision, but it's pretty clear that they're going to send him into one of those two-way spots. I just don't see any way that they wouldn't. It would be a complete shocker to me. And then, you know, Keshawn Johnson is going to be the other guy. And then it comes down to that last spot. And Josh Christopher is making quite a case for it. I have to say, like, we've kind of thought of him as maybe, you know, a fringe player that could make it here. And I know he's had his runs elsewhere, but he has showed up, and when he's good, he's pretty damn good. There's also the other side of that, but I think so far it's been pretty it's refreshing to have this developmental pipeline replenished, as we've talked about. Finally, they're starting to have players at all the different positions that you can plug in and say, okay, at least there is one young player on the team that we can look at and slot in there, and it makes sense.
Well, the problem, of course, is that there are only three two-ways, and that's more than there used to be. The Heat pushed for the third two-way with the league, and not just them, but they were among the teams that was very much in favor of it. But when you talk about this, we're not even talking about Pullen, who already has a two-way. Drew Smith, of course, that we're going to discuss more as we go forward. And then Alondis Williams and Cole Swider, who we both were on two-ways last year, and we thought had a pretty good chance to be again. And like, neither has played that. I mean, Williams has played better than Swider. So let's leave it there. And I've sort of expressed my concerns about Swider as an NBA player, just because of the movement stuff on defense and some of those other things. But I was going to go to you in a second, but I just want to make this comp because I made it on playback. Isaiah Stevens reminds me of Anthony Carter. Yeah, but not necessarily. I mean, he's a better shooter than AC was, okay? But the comp here is this. His teams win. Like, the reason that AC came out of college and it was undrafted, okay? And they used to practice at LaSalle, the high school. And Pat had an office above the court. And the way he would tell it, and he was the coach at the time, they would do these open runs, and AC's team would win every game, like every game, just like, and you'd be looking at him like, he can't shoot. I mean, he's not extremely athletic or anything like that, right? But they won every game. He just organized things. He defended, and they won, and they would beat Hardaway's teams. And AC made the team, was Timmy's backup point guard, which was a big deal at that time. That they used to rotate. If you have the 4 years there, right, it was the first year was Murdoch, right? Then they lost Eric Murdoch, which we thought they were going to do because it was hard to keep him at that time with the way that the salary cap was structured. And then they had the second year was Terry Porter towards the end of his career, but he was really still a really good player at that point. He was a great player in his prime. And then Crotty was the third year, and then AC was the fourth year. And actually, AC was the starting point guard in their first round playoff sweep of Detroit. That's the series Grant Hill effed up his ankle. But Timmy was out, and AC ran the offense and all that. And I could come back to this. Like, we forget that Eric Spoelstra was in the organization then. like he was in the organization and, you know, he was coming up. I mean, he's a young guy. He was late 20s at that point, I guess. But I just think these things, they're just ingrained into him. And again, obviously he's got his own things he's doing now, but I'm sure he's getting reports and the film and everything else. Isaiah Thomas. Well, he would make the team too, either of them. Well, maybe not the younger one. Isaiah Stevens, whose name is spelled like the diminutive Isaiah Thomas, not the Hall of Fame Isaiah Thomas. I think he's made this team as a two-way already, Alex.
I think so too. I think it's just become, you know, it's gotten to the point where I'm completely, you know, I've changed my mind already on what I said like a week ago when it comes to like, if I had to bet that, you know, it would essentially be that the two-way spots go unchanged by training camp, which still might be the case, like Leif said, because, you know, they just might, you know, make those changes then. But as far as like the play on the floor, there's no way that Isaiah Stevens does not deserve, you know, a spot over Zion Pullen, over, you know, you can make the case for Drew Smith, who's obviously not playing in this and who is, you know, recovering from injury. To me, like the Zion Pullen stuff, man, his minutes have kept decreasing. And today he only played like, I think, a little bit like upwards of 3 minutes. Right. And that's something that sometimes you'll see during summer league, like they start to rotate guys and maybe one guy doesn't play one night, another guy doesn't play another night. I don't know that that's what happened here. I just think they played the guys that they feel give them a better chance of winning. And I feel like it's not just Stevens who is, you know, the most impressive, you know, as far as like this class of guards that they've got. Right. He's been the most consistent, most impressive at just like doing what he does. Right. And doing it at a high level. Other than that, like I've been pretty impressed with Landis and Josh Christopher. I think I would give either one of them a two-way spot over Pullen and maybe Drew Smith right now. I think both of those guys have made their cases. You can make a case for either one, and we talked about it on different pods. Like they're not the same type of player, but there are some similarities when it comes to like, you know, their reputation as being score first. Now they're being kind of used a little bit differently, but Landis, man, like the shooting has been real nice as of late. I think the shot looks a little smoother. You wanted to see a little bit more, I think, as far as like finishing at the rim, but he could still get into the paint, you know, still gives you some free throw attempts. Like Josh Christopher gave you 7 free throw attempts today, and it's clear he's trying to fit into, you know, his own version of a 3-and-D role, which is never just 3-and-D for a Josh Christopher, right? Like he is going to try to make plays. He's going to attack the basket. And I actually think if you wanted to compare him to someone, it would be Caleb. As far as like, and somebody mentioned this in our playback chat, that like Caleb came in as like an athletic offensive player. And I feel like Josh Christopher has, you know, it's a similar type of thing. And he was a first round pick. The scoring talent is still there. He's bigger than he used to be. I just think they've got some tantalizing skill sets there. And I think him and Landis have both just, you know, showed off just and just a lot more than Zion Pullen has. And frankly, than Drew Smith did the season before. Like, Drew can really defend. We're always going to say that here. Like, nice size. Outside of that, like, it's just very limited. And so you see these guys with these skill sets, and it's like, what can you do with them? Because it's not, you know, it's not like it's all theory when both of these guys are giving you pretty good performances night after night. Like, I know Christopher has had a couple of not amazing games, but then at the same time, like, these games, he's giving you multiple 20 plus games already. And it's like, okay, he's probably above this level. You know what I mean? It's a former first round pick. I just think maybe this is the year that, you know, you take a swing on one of these talent guys along with a Stevens and Keshawn Johnson. And I think that will be a pretty strong, like, 3 2-way spots. If you're telling me it's Keshawn Johnson, Isaiah Stevens, and one of Josh Christopher Alana's, like, I feel pretty good about that.
Yeah, and I look, everybody's going to go to the lightning rod Drew Smith on this stuff, and we've said repeatedly Spo really likes him. But you're watching the end of that game, and we talk about John. We're going to get to Ware and Larson in the second half of the episode. But you're watching the end of that game, and you're like, okay, they've got Williams and Christopher on the floor, and the plus is both of them can make something out of nothing. The Heat don't have enough of those players, all right? The negative is they might make nothing out of something. And Spo doesn't really go to those players. Right? So that's where we're
it's a dilemma.
It's a dilemma. You're kind of caught in between. Like, it's like you want to take a high fly, like a high upside. Like last year they kept RJ Hampton around. higher upside, former first round pick, but then they didn't keep him around that long, right? And again, defaulted back to Drew Smith. Bouye had, I thought, higher upside than Drew Smith, but there were ups and downs there. I do think it's very possible that Spo could just say, whenever Drew's healthy, it looks like that's definitely a possibility. They're going to make the Gabe comp. I'll push back on the Gabe comp as far as the way that we viewed him. I liked Gabe from the beginning. I thought he was a little too high volume with the shooting, but Alex, I'm going to do it again. So you can find me here because I did this on playback. There was a certain swagger to Gabe's game. Alpha role player. Okay. So physicality to his game. There was a Alex hates when I do this, but it's true. But I said it about Max, Caleb, and Gabe that year. And then we saw those guys and the fact that the Heat trusted them in high leverage situations. Right. And Gabe had that thing. Okay. I don't see it with Drew Smith. I just don't. I don't. And then you add in the shooting form, which is kind of all over the place and other things like that. He can defend, but I just think you can find another like that. And so it's pretty simple. Keshawn Johnson gets a two-way for now and gets elevated once they can do that to a full roster spot, once it's not going to affect the second apron. To me, that's where this is headed. He's going to play this year. He's going to play. Like, this is not just him going to make the team. He's going to play.
Agreed.
Right. Isaiah Stevens, I think you have to keep him. I mean, again, all indications are they are going to keep him. He played 36 minutes. He's ahead of Pullen right now. You keep him. Okay, so there's your point guard. There's your kind of do everything, you know, plug the holes type player. And then you choose an athlete. So you choose Williams or you choose Christopher. That's where I would go. And then, you know, you have, the other guys. I mean, I guess you just say, well, you spend some time on Swider, but I just don't think if he doesn't shoot well, I don't know what else he's providing. So that's kind of where I am with him. And then
I think they should take the swing on Josh Christopher. I'll go on record as saying that. I think this is a year to try it.
I think that's fair. And the other thing is Josh Christopher, and we've talked about this, will get picked up by somebody else. I do not believe Drew Smith coming back off a knee injury will.
Correct.
But the other guy who's interesting and could come out of nowhere here, although our guys on the Force podcast have been tracking him and did some chalk talks with him, is Caleb Daniels. So before we get to Ware and Lawrence on the other side, he just looks like a Heat player. Like, and he looks like the kind of guy that we were talking about everybody else. And all of a sudden Caleb Daniels gets the third two way. Right. Could you see that happening?
It's worth mentioning him. He definitely had his moments. He just hasn't had enough of those moments and been put in position to play like that every game throughout summer league. So I think we'll see if he gets an invitation to camp. I don't know that he has an exhibit 10, but if he does come to camp, then it's absolutely possible because he's been one of the other guys that's popped on this team.
Yep. What do you think of him, Alex?
I like him too. It feels like kind of the next guy in line, not to like get a spot or get minutes, but as far as like that build, that archetype of player of like this 3-and-D role player who is not huge, but like plays above their size. He feels like, you know, right in that type of mold of player. I like what he does. Like, he had that huge play at the end of the game today, that huge stop. And just in general, he's a pretty active player on the defensive end. He's very strong. I think the shot looks good when his feet are set, you know? So again, very similar to the types of guys they've had in that build before, where it's like you feel decent about them taking the open three and you know that they're not going to try to do too much outside of that. I don't expect them to get the two-way spot, but, you know, I think it would be cool if they kept him around in the system, just, you know, in their program. And maybe he's one of those guys who's like, you know, like you said, is probably a long shot, but, you know, could maybe earn a spot in training camp, or if not, is back next season. And, you know, we're doing the same thing again. And it's like, he looks a little better and they bring him up then. Like, that would not be surprising to me at all. He seems like that type of guy. But yeah, he's another guy. Like, it really feels like there's around six or seven guys
who are
seriously competing for that the two-way deals. Not that they're all, you know, same like likelihood or anything, but it's been that's what, like, I've enjoyed watching summer league for that, right? Because it's been exciting winning basketball with a lot of highlights, but also it's just like interesting to see who like they end up valuing most because guys are showing off their skill sets. And today it was more interesting because, you know, like even though it's a summer league tournament, right? It's a semifinal game. You got to see the game come down, you know, to the last minute, and the Heat outscored the Warriors in this game by 8 in the fourth quarter. So they did what they needed to, and that was, you know, including a stretch there where Ware didn't play. I know we're going to get to him. So it was interesting that they went with that move, you know, and kind of both teams ended up playing small for a while there towards the end of the game. And the Heat, like the guys that we've been talking about here so far, got to show out, right? Like Stevens was the guy quarterbacking everything and did a great job at that, has been consistently good at that, and had another good scoring game today and good shooting game. But outside of that, like I thought Alondis and Christopher just they looked better in that role that they were playing in my opinion, where they're kind of playing off ball and attacking, you know, instead of trying to set people up. Even though Alondis a couple of games in a row with like 6 assists, I think his passing is significantly better than Christopher's, but I think Christopher is probably like a better defender in the NBA because of the size, you know. So again, they're not the same type of player, but both of them playing off ball and trying to find, you know, pick and choose their spots, when to attack, trying not to dribble too much. I enjoyed that. And I think that's the type of stuff the Heat are going to be looking for. It's like, can they fit alongside some of these other players if they're called up? And I don't think either one of them had like dominated the ball or too much or anything. That's why I would just take a swing on them, because I don't think they would do too much. I would just say, you know, what can you carve out from these potential gems? It might not work out, you know, but I think, like you mentioned, you have like your quarterback point guard who can shoot and who can really, really set everything up that you just don't have in the system and haven't had in a while. You've got Keshawn Johnson. Don't even need to talk about him. He's a done deal. He's locked in there. And then I just think you take the talent swing. And I know we're kind of starting to repeat ourselves here, but at the same time, it's like, you know, we're getting more sample game after game. And it's like, okay, they're starting to become pretty consistent in these roles. Like, I think they've shown enough to where one of them, you know, deserves a two-way deal.
Well, we're repeating ourselves, and then because I think we're setting ourselves up for them not to do this, and then that episode is going to be interesting, right?
Heat fans don't need more heartache this offseason.
Well, no, but it just feels kind of obvious right now, honestly.
Yeah,
but I'm not, you know, again, none of us are as qualified as Spo and the rest of their group to evaluate it. But it's just it like you said, Alex, it's been. These things we're seeing are consistent at this stage. It's not, I mean, Christopher had one bad game and they had one good, which actually for him is consistent. There is that variability with his game. Again, it's higher ceiling, probably lower floor with him. So, but I mean, we can have a long debate about Christopher versus Williams. I think most fans are on the side of Christopher, but I can make the case for Williams. I can't make the case for Drew Smith when you got Isaiah Stevens in the system already. That one I don't see. All right. But we're going to talk about Ware here in a second. Before we do, I want to mention a great sponsor of the 5 Reasons Sports Network, our friends over at Prize Picks. Use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get that initial deposit matched up to $100. Legal again in the state of Florida. Set your lineup up to 4 players. Again, we know no NHL right now, no NBA right now. Football hasn't started yet, although you can get the futures on there. There's plenty of other stuff that you can play on Prize Picks. So use the code 5, F-I-V-E. Get your initial deposit matched up to $100. Hey, it's Ethan Skolnick for 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reasons Sports Network. These days, all of us are operating in an information technology space, and that is dangerous. And that's why I signed up for Incogni. You can find it at incogni.com. That's incogni.com/5floor. That's FIVEFLOOR, name of this podcast. And you get 60% off an annual plan. Now, why should you do this? Because data brokers are out there creating shadow profiles on you that include a frightening amount of personal details. These insights are then used by scammers, total strangers, insurance companies, banks, businesses, and even the government. You want to avoid the identity theft, the increased costs, and all of the things that come with this. So you got to sign up for Incogni. They will go through the entire process with you and begin that data removal. So again, you can be safer in this online space. So check it out, incogni.com. Again, that's incogni.com/5floor, spelled out 5floor, and you get 60% off an annual plan.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on all your back-to-school needs, all in the Kroger app. Get three-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean ground beef for $3.99 a pound with your card. Then get Oreo cookies, Chips Ahoy, or Kool-Aid jammers for $1.99 each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, where today? Let's talk Ware and Larson before we close. So, spirited debate on Playback. Check it out, playback.tv/5RSN. We'll be on to watch the game on Monday night. We have guys like in our program, like Eternal, who are very pro Ware, and I'm pro Ware. I think I like the pick. I like the upside. We saw some things today that were really good, because of just the athletic ability, even going to the wrong hand and still scoring, all that kind of stuff. Just like the raw skill is there. But then you also see some reasons that Spo's going to have not to play him. And that's the stuff he's going to have to break through in training camp. And it's not just motor, which we've talked about. Today, it looked to me like he was gassed. I think others, we started talking about that on Playback, and then they noticed it. Again, these guys, he came out of a college season. Then they have a long break, but they're working out for teams, and now they're playing a lot of games. And I mean, the Heat have played more games than anybody but Memphis. They're going to play more games than anybody but Memphis, who they're facing. So a lot of games in a short period of time. I think he got the one game off. He just looked tired. So I'll just start there. The conditioning is going to have to improve, and they will work on that. But you see things, and I'm just wondering, Greg, is this conditioning or is this kind of – Or is it motor beyond just the conditioning? So, like, the things that are going to keep him off the floor for Spoelstra, it's going to drive fans insane because they're going to see these flashes of ability. But getting lost on the pick and rolls on defense, okay?
Yeah.
He won't play if that happens. The screen setting, which I actually thought got better as the game went on. The fighting for the tough rebounds. Like, these are the kinds of things that I think, again, he has more ability than so many of these others who Spo might play. But I could see Spo saying, we're going to play Haywood Highsmith because I know he's going to do the in-between things. We're going to play Johnson because I believe he will do the in-between things. But those are the kind of little things, again, that when I'm like, slow your roll to everybody. I know that's your phrase. But like, slow your roll on him starting with Bam. It's not happening from the start of the season. Right? I mean, how does he make the case to Spo to play?
He has to basically be mistake-free on defense, and he has to not play foul-played basketball. Like that, those are the things, the basic elements that I think are going to have to keep him afloat. I think he's talented enough offensively to figure out his way, and that's not going to be an issue. I think it's more about making sure that they can figure out ways to keep him on the court and not get into weird situations with switches, but also not being a foul-prone player against, much more talent than he's seen in summer league so far. So I think that has a lot to do with it. They may be able to figure out ways and lineups where they can kind of mask some of this to some degree. But I think it comes down to just being mistake-free on defense and then, the foul trouble aspect of this. That's where I could see if he gets a little too advantageous going after blocks, stuff like that, that could keep him off the floor. So those are the things that he has to hone in on from my perspective. You see the flashes. Fans are going to always want to see more from him. But I think that they should be prepared for veterans to get at least a crack at some of those minutes. Players like Kevin Love are going to carve out a role on this team for some of the regular season. Maybe not all, but some of the regular season.
Well, I think fans will be okay with Kevin getting some minutes, but I can see games where Bam's out and Spo starts Thomas Bryant and the Heat fans freak out, but I definitely think it's possible. We're going to do a whole episode on this, and we will in the future, but Spoelstra is going to really frustrate Heat fans this year. I can already see it coming. Like, the, he's going to be playing Burks. He's going to be playing Jay Rich. He's going to be playing Kevin Love, like guys that we know what they are at this point, playing Thomas Bryant. And Heat fans are going to want to see these other guys. And then ultimately, it's going to be for the best for these players and for the team. But the months in between are going to be horrific on Twitter and other places, because we just know. And we're supposed going to get called stubborn and all the rest. I know exactly where this is going. But let me ask you this. Well, first, because to me, this is a good pivot, I think, to go to this next part. Like, to me, the I look back at the Beasley Haslam stuff from 2008. as beloved as Udonis is, and even had contributed to winning a championship at that point, Heat fans wanted Beasley to start. Okay?
Mm-hmm. I was one of them.
Same. Right.
And Spo did it. And UD had to suck it up, basically. Which one of those things doesn't get talked about enough with UD. And ultimately, they went back the other way. And this feels to me like that. Like, with where there's some bees in them. There just is. And, I mean, again, Beasley would still probably win every one-on-one tournament. I mean, he's playing the big three right now. But there's a little bit there. I'm not saying, like, that. I don't know how to put that. I mean, I'm not saying he's quite as spacey as Bees was, because that was there was a level there that nobody really reached until Whiteside. But there is, again, a guy who is going to be in the right spot at the right time and do the right things. Like, Spoelstra is going, and at that point, he was a rookie head coach. They needed talent. They just had Dwayne. They drafted this kid number two overall. There was, and the fans were pushing for it. So you look back and you're like, okay, this is not that, even that. Like, this is a guy who's 15th pick in the draft. Team is trying to contend. He's going to lean to guys, even though they're smaller, like a Highsmith, like a Keshawn Johnson, instead of Ware. And sometimes he's going to play Bryant, and Love. But, Alice, I want to get to this, because Ware reminds me of the Jovic situation, where they're going to make him earn it. You know, I'm not necessarily going to send him to the G League, but they're going to make him earn it. They're going to make him wait for it. They're going to, till he does those other things. And then hopefully he blossoms the way that Nico started blossoming in the last year. Larson feels a little more to me like Hawkins. I think Larson's going to play more than Ware. Mm. I've already said, I think Keshawn Johnson's going to play more than Ware. I think Larson's going to play more than Ware. And it's because you just watch him play. Like, he just knows how to play. Like, it's very, the game, there's a feel to his game already. And I just think Spo is going to trust him. Like, and that's even as I have no question Ware's going to be the better NBA player, okay, with the Heat guiding him. But I think right now I could absolutely see Larson getting more minutes this year. Is that crazy?
No, I can definitely see that. And that's kind of like what happened when they went with him on draft night, right? I mentioned this a million times already. Like, it felt like they were right in line to pick a quote-unquote ready-made, you know, older guy. With their first round pick, they did it with their second round pick instead. And, you know, I think he's shown the stuff that he was built for, right? He's as advertised. The only thing is, you want to see him shoot more. And we've already talked about that plenty. I think that's like the one thing with him, is they're going to get in his head to, you know, tell him to launch, just tell him to let it fly. And I think once that happens, that's what's going to open things up for him, because everything else has stood out. Like, the way that he can, you know, make a nice pass while attacking a closeout, the way he can finish at the rim, the defense is physical, and he's pretty good there. Even though, you know, he'll sometimes have off ball mistakes, I generally am encouraged by the defense. It feels like he'll be a positive sooner than later. You know, or like, in the sense of, like, he's like slightly above neutral. And if you're doing that as a rookie, right, I think that's pretty impressive. Like, I just think he has defensive instincts there. So once the shooting comes, right, and he's taking a higher volume of shots, I think he's going to look even better playing alongside other guys. So, yeah, I think Larson can play. I'm not even sure, though, that he will 100% play more than Ware. And same thing for Keshawn. Like, I think all three of them could play next season, but I'm having a hard time seeing who will play most, just because the rotation, like you want to see who Spo ends up leaning on and what type of, like, who is he willing to play with who, right? Because I think that's going to factor in a lot when it comes to Khalil Ware, because if he's not willing to play him next to Bam or Love, and he's just looking at him as a five, then it kind of limits how much he can play. because I really don't think we're going to see him play next to Bam or Leon. Not saying he can't do it in the future. You know, that's what they drafted him for, is to eventually be able to play that role, even if it's just for some time. Like, I think having that option is nice. I don't think he's there yet. I think strength, conditioning, mobility, all that stuff is going to be huge for him. Absolutely huge. And, you know, when you start talking about the things that you guys have already been talking about with Ware, like the, you know, maybe some inconsistent pick and roll defense, inconsistent screening, which I agree has gotten better since the beginning of Vegas, you know, just occasional lapses. I think those things can be, you know, can be fixed over time. I don't think it's all going to be right away, though. Like, I don't expect him to be like, oh, just because he gets a couple of months in with the Heat's program, everything's going to be, you know, like he's going to be the guy he's supposed to be in year one. I just don't see it. Like, the fact that what's encouraging about it, though, is that despite like all the work that's going to be done to his body and needs to be done to his body as far as putting on weight, getting in the best conditioning, trying to become, you know, an even more mobile version of yourself, even despite all that, where it's clear that he needs to like that stuff, he's still insanely productive. So that's why I'm very encouraged by Ware. All that being said, I don't think he's going to be, you know, playing that stretch big role next to Bam. And we could, you know, have that conversation for another day. I don't think that's going to happen right away. And so if you're not playing him next to Bam, like, are you playing him next to Kevin Love? How do you work that out? That might be kind of tough to work out on the defensive end. And it could work. You know, you could just put him in zone. It's a little murky there. And then when you start talking about
Brady likes him next to Jovic. We talked about that yesterday.
But yeah, you could do that too. You could try that too. I just think you got to figure out like, who do you like playing him next to? How many, you know, quote unquote bigs are you willing to put on the floor at the same time? Mm-hmm. I think that's a big question. And other than that, Larson is a guy who looks like he could play right away. But like you said, you've got Alec Burks, you've got Jay Rich, who will at some point be back, and who Spo was trusting last year a pretty good deal. So I don't think it's as clear for him either, right? Like, if I that's why I'm a little bit like, I could see all of them getting their turns, but honestly, Ware should get like consistent playing time. I think a lottery pick like that, essentially a lottery pick, you should invest time into him and make sure he gets playing time. I could even make the case for Larson as well, but again, who do you put him over, right? Mm-hmm. That's where it gets tough, because you know the vets are going to get a certain leeway if Spo just thinks they're the better option.
Well, they're going to go into the season trying to compete. We know that. And that's there are always two things to weigh here, and sometimes we don't always weigh them. One is what's best for the team at that time, and one is what's best for the player's long-term development. And, you know, sometimes it aligns, and sometimes
find
it's
that balance.
Tough. Time to find the balance, right? And that with Jovic, it's one of the things we got into a lot was, okay, for the team kind of needed some of his skill set early last year, but he wasn't going to be the best version of himself probably later in the season if they didn't handle it the way that they did. So I think that's kind of the way to look at this. And, I, you know, obviously you're hoping for jumps from him, and it looks like the Hawkins jump is pretty much a foregone conclusion at this point. So we'll get into more of this tomorrow, probably recap the Summer League game. We got some other episodes we're going to get to. Dwayne Wade recently said that he believed he was on a Jordan trajectory if he hadn't gotten hurt. So we're going to get into to that topic. And one more we will probably do here, and you can make more suggestions on Off the Floor. Who has the highest upside long-term? Jovic, Hawkins, or Ware? We put up a poll. It was really close, actually. And the guy who was projected to have the lowest upside when he came into the NBA is the one who actually won the poll. So we'll talk about that as we go forward. Thanks to Greg. Thanks to Alex. Check out the link on Valvoline.com and get your discounts there. And also Prize Picks. Use the code 5. Have a good day, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the 5 on the Floor on the 5 Reason Sports Network. After all, someone needs to listen to my dad.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.